Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. We are talking about the right recipe, patience and persistence. I love this topic because it's a balance of a fine line. How can you slow down and let things come to you yet maintain a level of persistence and not give up? It's a great challenge for all of us, and who doesn't like a challenge? What end of the scale do you struggle with the most? Is it different depending on the situation? Let's test ourselves and see where things get a bit lopsided. Remember, you're in charge of the way you proceed. The pace and timing, as well as the tenacity and grit. Ready to walk that line? Someone once told me I was politely persistent instead of pushy. It might have been one of the nicest descriptions for my efforts. I've been in sales virtually my whole life, so professionally, I always walk the line. There are outcomes and expectations set for me every year, every quarter, every month. Persistence is a must, and patience is hard to practice. I feel like politely persistent was a clever way of letting me know that I had found a balance. Professionally, check. But personally, it's something I struggle with daily. For me, the scale is always tipped to persistence. I'm very goal-driven and always willing to put in the work to make things happen, and now. But the return on investment can be a waiting game, and that's where I fall short. The minute something doesn't meet my expectations and my proposed timeline, I start to self-doubt. Was this really a good idea? Maybe I rushed the process. Maybe it's not really going to work. The key word here is my expectations. I'm disappointed and doubting my ideas and myself because I couldn't meet my own expectations. Obviously, there is a nugget in there that's begging to be explored, but let's build a visual first. If the scale is tipped and the patience is on the ground, where is the persistence? It should be all the way at the top, but that isn't indicative of human behavior. We self-doubt. When that starts creeping in and everything comes to a halt, instead of pushing harder, we drop everything and walk away, chalking it up to just a bad idea or, worse, a measurement of our own effort and worth. How many times have you hit some resistance and bailed on your idea? How many critics does it take to make you go another way? Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. So let's look at habits of highly persistent people. Here are 7 that I found on fastcompany.com. 1 is an all-consuming vision. Persistent people have a goal or vision in mind that motivates and drives them. They're often dreamers and visionaries who see their lives as having a higher purpose than simply just earning a living. Their vision is deeply ingrained, and they focus on it constantly and with great emotion and energy. They often think of this vision first thing when they wake up and last thing when they go to bed. Reaching this goal becomes the focal point of their life, and they devote a major portion of their energy and time towards it. Sounds like they don't take no for an answer, and they don't waste a lot of time with useless information. 2, they have a burning desire. Entrepreneur and motivational speaker Jim Rohn once said, "If you really want to do something, you'll find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse." Isn't that so true? Persistent people want it bad, really bad, and they never look for an excuse or a way out. What keeps highly persistent people going is their powerful level of desire. Repeated failures, dead ends, and periods where it seems like no progress is being made often comes before a major breakthrough happens. Persistent people have the inner energy and intensity to keep them motivated going through these tough times. This is where patience come in. Highly persistent, know it's part of the process. They also possess inner confidence. People who overcome the odds and achieve greatly are often described as marching to the beat of their own drummer. They know what they want and are seldom swayed by the opinion of the masses. Having a highly developed sense of who they are allows them to be highly persistent and to continue without being greatly affected by what other people think of them. While that inner confidence gets challenged and shaken, it never gets destroyed and constantly acts as a source of courage and determination. It sure helps me to believe everyone will like my ideas. I just believe that. That's why I'm never afraid to introduce ideas, bad or good. I have a lot of passion for what I do, and it comes across in the way I present my ideas. At least my inner confidence has convinced me of this. They also have highly developed habits. Roan also once said, motivation is what gets you started. Habit is what keeps you going. And I like to add to that, encouragement gets you off the couch. Highly persistent people know it is very difficult to stay continually motivated, particularly during difficult times and when it appears that no progress is being made. They have come to rely upon their self-discipline and developing habits that they can count on and continue down the path towards their eventual goal. They believe the results of the efforts they make today may not be seen for a long time, but they strongly believe that everything they do will count towards their outcome in the end. They also possess the ability to adjust and adapt. Persistent people have the ability to change their action plan. They don't stubbornly persist in the face of evidence that their plan is not working, but look for better ways that will increase their chances of success. The highly persistent see their journey as a series of dead ends, detours, adjustments, but they have complete faith that they will reach their final destination. They're not tied to their ego and are quickly willing to admit when something is not working. As well, they are quick to adapt the ideas of others that they've been shown to work well. Knowing when to give in and to modify your goal or approach is taking charge of your destiny. Going down with the ship, so to speak, is not valiant. It's stubborn. They also possess the commitment to lifelong learning. Persistent people realize that any goal worth reaching will take time, effort, and continuously learning new skills and thinking patterns. They welcome change and new ideas and continue looking for ways they can incorporate these into their lives. Ongoing learning is seen as part of the process through which a highly persistent person continually expands their range, adds tools to their toolbox. Naturally curious, persistent types not only see learning as a way to reach their goals more quickly, but they also see self-development as just a way of life. Learning and continual growth don't end at a certain age or stage in life, but they are the essence of life itself and therefore never ending. Send yourself to school. What do you want to know? Research it. Educate yourself. If you find something that you're passionate about, then this becomes more fun. And you will be much more devoted to learning everything you can. Persistent people use role models that act as guides and mentors. While it may appear that highly persistent people act alone and don't need anyone, most have a carefully chosen group of people they admire and emulate. These can be people who are actually involved in their lives as mentors and confidants, or they can be figures who they've read about or studied and researched who have deeply impacted their life. Persistent people usually stand out from their environment, and they're often misunderstood or ridiculed because they can make those around them feel a little uncomfortable. Having strongly ingrained models helps persistent people sustain and motivate themselves in an environment that's not always very supportive. Who do you look up to? Is there a person you admire for their work ethic or their contribution or their creative spirit? Grab a coffee with them. Pick their brain. We can learn so much from just talking to other people. So don't be afraid to reach out. Where does self-doubt usually creep into your plan? Is it in the beginning, making it impossible to even get started? What about in the middle? Blamed for the project never getting done? Or is it preventing you from the long haul? Remember that inner confidence. Where does that come from? Self-confidence is the confidence in our own abilities. You want to know how to do something, you research, learn, practice, and do. You do it over and over with success, and now you have confidence in your ability to do it well. You are self-confident when it comes to that. Self-esteem is the cognitive and emotional appraisal of your own worth. Our self-esteem is directly tied to the way we think, feel, and act. It also determines our relationships with others and ourselves. Dr. Neil Burton has some interesting insight on this subject. It seems that we are each born with a healthy self-esteem and a small smattering of self-confidence, which is then either sustained or undermined by our life experiences. In the Western world, self-esteem is primarily based on achievement, whereas in the East, it's primarily based on worthiness. That is, on being seen and accepted as a good member of the family, the community, or other in-groups. In the Western world, you can get away with being a bad group member so long as you're successful. But in the East, you can get away with being unsuccessful so long as you're a good group member. Interesting the way that that's perceived. One problem with achievement-based self-esteem is that it promotes the fear of failure and the pursuit of success at all costs. Because achievement is not wholly within our control, and because its effects are transient, it cannot offer a secure foundation for our self-esteem. Worthiness-based self-esteem also has its limitations. First of all, it relies heavily on the acceptance or rejection of others. And so, like achievement-based self-esteem, it's not wholly within our control. Second, because acceptance is contingent upon conformity with your in-group, it severely restricts our range of possibilities. If self-confidence is "I can," then self-esteem is "I am." Many people find it simpler to work on their self-confidence than on their self-esteem. And they end up with this long list of abilities and achievements to show for themselves. But they also depend on this list for their self-esteem. They cannot afford to look upon themselves as they truly are, with all their imperfections and failures. And so they're unable to recognize, let alone address, their real problems and limitations, and more tragically, to accept and love themselves as the less than perfect humans that they truly are. I was asked when I did a recent presentation to Girls World Expo, if you could go back and offer any advice to parents in guiding their children's upbringing, what would you say? And I definitely said, work on a healthy self-concept, self-esteem, working on loving yourself as you truly are. So not necessarily how the East believes in being accepted by a group, but being accepted by yourself, good and bad, your faults and your accomplishments. I think that's so important to really give us what we need to combat a lot of the negativity that we find in the world. We definitely see more perfectionism or striving to be perfect in this younger generation because of all the false reality ideas that they see primarily in social media or any other actual kind of media. Healthy self-concept. As anyone who has been to a university knows, a long list of abilities and achievements is neither sufficient nor necessary for healthy self-esteem. While people keep on working on this list in hopes that they might one day be good enough, they try to fill the void with other things like status, income, possessions, relationships, sex, and so on. Whenever we live up to our dreams and promises, we can feel ourselves growing. Whenever we fail but know that we've given our best, we can feel ourselves growing. Whenever we stand up for ourselves, our values, and face the consequences, we can feel ourselves growing. Whenever we come to terms with a difficult truth, we can feel ourselves growing. Whenever we bravely live up to our ideals, we can feel ourselves growing. That is what growth depends on. Growth depends on bravely living up to our ideals, not on the ideals of others. Persistence is directly tied to a healthy self-concept. When you feel confident in who you are and what you can accomplish, then you can take that challenge of any new venture in stride. That doesn't mean that self-doubt isn't lurking in the shadows, but with a healthy self-concept, you can confront it head-on and trust in yourself. When I hit a snag and I am plagued with a moment of self-doubt, I try and stop myself from allowing the worst case scenarios from taking over. Doesn't that always happen? It's like a movie playing out. Something doesn't work as you planned or expected, and you start questioning every other aspect. And if it stopped at questioning, we'd be okay. See, we don't have the answers at this point. So in a normal scenario, the questions would be that, just left unanswered. But that isn't good enough. We have to play it all the way out. Then this will happen, and that will happen, then I'm sure this will happen, and because of that, this certainly won't happen, and I'll lose everything. Whoa. Reel it in and deal with one obstacle at a time. Part of your plan should include space to handle setbacks. When your timeline is so aggressive and rigid that one no will throw the whole thing off, you need to add in some wiggle room. During this time, you can evaluate your current plan and decide if it's just a waiting game or you need to re-engineer your approach. You might need to abort it altogether and go to plan B, but without time and space and the mental safety net, you might hit the ground hard and give up. Plan B isn't going into the journey lacking self-confidence. It's respecting your vision and fueling your persistence. Why go back to the drawing board? That seems like starting completely over. How about a change of plans? Fully thought out plans. This may help you keep your self-confidence intact and get you over that hump. Practicing patience can get you through the long stretches. The waiting game. You have a great idea. You've done the necessary research and planning. All the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. Why isn't anyone as excited about this as I am? Is this thing on? What about the plan that has 10 steps, but between 4 and 5, there's a huge gap of unforeseen waiting? Not in your control, but yet you're waiting. How do you keep your spirits high and soldier on? Knowing trees, I understand the meaning of patience. Knowing grass, I can appreciate persistence. That is a quote by Hal Borland. Adam Ciesinski is the founder of IQ Matrix, matrix, and he lays it out pretty well. Patience actually helps you to step back from the situation and gain more clarity and a deeper understanding of what's happening around you. This makes you more sensitive and aware of what other people are going through. And as a result, it opens the door to compassion and empathy. Once you have space and are no longer emotionally riled up about the situation, it's natural to expect that patience will begin to filter out the stress and overwhelm that you possibly might have experienced if you made a different choice in the spur of the moment. This provides you with a greater sense of poise, peace, and control over the situation. In fact, any mistakes you might have made now no longer seem as harsh or cutthroat. Since you're no longer emotionally riled up about the situation, you may now see the true value in making these mistakes. Your ability to think more constructively, analytically, critically, and creatively is also suddenly enhanced. You are now better able to see the bigger picture of this predicament that you find yourself in, and as a result, you're more capable of evaluating these circumstances more effectively and thereby solving problems more readily. I say this all the time about getting a different perspective. You know, we use a stop method so that you can stop yourself. We also do one called freeze frame, where you can freeze the situation instead of your immediate panic, right? So you hit a snag. Whether this is an obstacle and a challenge, or whether this is trying to get through this patient time, before you rush to make a decision, stop. Freeze it. Take in some breaths. Think about the situation and really evaluate. It's when we make those knee-jerk reactions that we tend to make the wrong reaction. We're not necessarily going on our gut at that moment. We're going on fear, right? Self-doubt. We don't need those people making decisions for us. As a result of this clarity of thought, you're now able to plan ahead and make better decisions moving forward. This enhances your chances of overcoming the obstacles you face in the pursuit of the goal you had in mind. Patience has made you happier and mentally healthier because you're no longer on a whim of circumstances, but you're in the driver's seat, in full control of the mental and emotional faculties in your mind. And this is really where true power resides. It resides in your ability to patiently and calmly handle anything that life throws your way with clarity of mind. And that is the essence and real value of patience. Sounds reasonable. But why then do I want it now? I want it now. Every one of us wants to hit it out of the park on the first swing. If you didn't, you wouldn't have gotten up to bat. No one starts out on the journey to a life goal wanting to hit adversity and miss milestones and plan for failure. We want to win. But taking a step back and gaining a new advantage might help you see that it's all part of your life's plan. Yesterday, I was thinking, wow, time is going so quickly. Weeks are flying by, which means a year's in comes before you know it. Someone once said to me, time must pass quickly for you. At first, I didn't know what they meant. It really made me stop and think. What she meant was, my life was so full of goals and projects and milestones that I never sat idle. And you know what? She was right. Before I started this topic, I told myself that I needed to slow down. I am so focused on timelines and what I have coming up that I'm missing where I am right now. I don't want life to pass me by being proud that I hit a milestone with accuracy. I want to enjoy each moment it takes to get there. To do this will require adjusting the timeline and being a little easier on myself. Here's an unknown quote. Don't miss all the beautiful colors of the rainbow looking for the pot of gold. Man, doesn't that make a lot of sense? Allie Palmer shares some insight on Tiny Buddha that she picked up from some of her older clients, which really opened her eyes. Presence with others. Having presence with others. Being gracious. No matter what you're dealing with in life, be gracious to others. Be grateful for what you have in your life and be willing to pay it forward. Be present with your loved ones. With all the distractions around us, it's easy to get sidetracked. We may be tempted to multitask by checking email or sending text messages while we're talking to them. How many times do you do that? Just a minute. Be right with you. Head down. But it's so much more important to let your loved ones know that they're being heard and that you value the relationship with them. Be present with everyone you encounter, whether it's a clerk at the grocery store or your neighbor or your coworker. Oprah said that after talking to almost 30,000 people on her show, she found that everyone has the same desire to know they are seen, they're heard, and that what they say matters. Be yourself and don't try to impress. We waste a lot of time worrying and about finding the right outfit and making our hair look just right and being presentable. If you want to wear a muumuu with tennis shoes, do it. Just be present. Nurture your friendships. As we grow older, it's important to have our friends to lean on, to cheer us up, and to keep us going. And speaking of, nurture them now, because when you do reach that age where everyone is scattered, it's much more difficult to build a relationship. So nurture the ones that you have. Always have a good joke to tell. Everyone loves a good joke, and laughter can be healing as well as contagious. Have presence when it's not easy. Don't sweat the small stuff. Know what's absolutely important in your life and don't get caught up with the petty things. Easier said than done, right? Choose happiness. Don't let your happiness depend on your circumstances. You can decide to be happy no matter what's going on around you. Keep music in your life. Music can be very therapeutic and can help boost your mood. You can take a dance class, learn how to play an instrument, or just rock out at home to your favorite tunes. Let go of grudges. Do yourself a favor and find a way to forgive and move on. Holding on to bitterness and anger will only hurt you. It doesn't mean you necessarily forgot what happened, but forgiveness allows you to release the negativity and make room for positive. It all boils down to remembering what's important in life, and we definitely don't have to wait until we're retired to do that. We can decide to do it today. No matter what we're doing or whom we're with, to let this moment know, yes, I see you, I hear you, and you matter. I think we found the right recipe and are ready to concoct a successful plan, don't you think? Each idea plays a critical part in us being triumphant. Without a healthy self-concept, the journey will be difficult, if even started. Take time to build a solid plan, one that's based on research and the necessary steps to reach each milestone. Build in space to wait and listen. Your timing rarely works, so don't get distracted in the silence. Have a plan B and don't be afraid to use it. Enjoy the ride. Don't be so focused on the end goal that you miss all the new opportunities and you overlook the ones that you currently have. Time is too precious and the only thing we don't have enough of. Don't be so hyper-focused on getting ahead that you miss the truly amazing moments that happen every day. I have an app on my watch that reminds me to breathe. I had one that reminded me to stand up, and I already turned that one off. I also have a sign on my bulletin board that says, drink more water. I do wish I would look at that one a little more often. I think I'll add one that says, look around. Sometimes I get so focused on my work that I forget to look up and just look around. Notice the day and look outside. This is going to be the start. Just notice the day. You might have found some things tonight that you would like to share with someone else, and that's always a great thing. Pay it forward. If you find out a tip or a trick that makes sense to you and you'd like to share it with a friend, that is so, so important. What great encouragement that is. Before we leave this topic of patience and persistence, I want to go back. At the start, I talked about getting disappointed. The minute something doesn't meet my expectations and proposed timeline, I start to self-doubt. Remember that? The key word there was my expectations. And we talked about that would definitely be something to explore, a little nugget. And we all have them. We all have those expectations, whether we set those for ourselves or someone else sets those for us. The worst is you got to be perfect. I don't know if you heard that growing up, but that's definitely the first one to blast apart because there is no such thing as perfection. And striving for that can really keep you stuck where you are or not even getting started because you're too worried and fearful that you won't be perfect. But expectations are anything. You know, you expect it to have a positive outcome. You expect people to be receptive to your ideas. You expect to learn something or achieve something or get somewhere in life. So expectations are typically put on pretty much everything that we do, whether, again, it's us or someone else. But that's where we get the biggest source of disappointment because it rarely turns out exactly as we would like it to. And for many that aren't prepared for that, that can really stop you in your tracks, right? So plan B, as we talked about, is a wonderful way. Having a plan B is a wonderful way of if it doesn't go as planned, right? That's your expectation. I had a friend one time telling me that we were trying to come to a source of where her frustration is in her daily activities. And she talked about her husband maybe not following the list of what's for dinner and preparing it in the proper way, and it doesn't turn out right. And if she gets home and it's not ready, it's just a big deal. We talked about ordering a pizza as plan B. How easy is that? Just order a pizza. You get a pass so often for a plan B pass, and that's we're just going to order a pizza. We're not going to belittle you for not having turned on the stove or laid out the hamburger meat or whatever that may be in your production part of the meal. But if that goes that way and I see that it didn't happen, I'm going to go to plan B, which is just order a pizza. I can put the number on the fridge and I can just switch gears. Doesn't that make it so much easier to deal with? What a great way to just have a backup plan. So you can do that with every one of your goals. Once you set your expectation, go ahead and just have your safety net plan B. Anytime you do a flow chart, you always have yes, go here, no, go here. You couldn't have a process turn out successful if you didn't have a yes, no, go, right? So why don't you think about your plan that way too? At what point is your breaking point? If this doesn't work, go here. That doesn't work, go there. At some point, you're going to have to think of aborting the idea altogether. So having that planned out with all of your plan Bs might be a real good peace of mind. That could give you that peace of mind to make it through those stagnant times where patience is a virtue, right? It's okay. I can wait. I got plenty of time. I've got a plan B, right? My expectations, I'm not worried about hitting those because I have a plan B. Now, expectations that are set by other people just really need to be explored. Is that something you embody and you make an agreement with yourself that you're going to partake in that type of expectation? Or is that just someone else imposing their ideas on you? And in which case, you can reject easily. So we talked about a lot of different ideas on this show. We talked a lot about the scale, that patience and persistence, how to be patient and how to be persistent at the same time. So I want to just wrap it up so you have some nuggets to take away, something that you might want to implement even today. Maybe you're going to be feverishly writing your goal and your plan today, so you may want to implement some of these. So we talked about the seven habits that highly persistent people are known for, and that was very, very eye-opening. Number one, really having that laser focus, that burning desire, that all-consuming vision. You know, they don't waste a lot of time with nonsense. They don't waste a lot of time self-doubting themselves and, you know, getting ready to get ready. They just pull the trigger and go. And it primarily comes from that inner confidence. You know, we talked about the difference between confidence and self-esteem. Confidence in your ability to complete something with accuracy. But self-esteem is believing in yourself, just who you are. That's your core, your healthy self-concept. And how important that is as just that basis to hang everything else on. You've got to have that healthy, strong core of ideas. We also talked about healthy habits. You know, they have a habit. They get up early. They stay late. They send an extra email. They, you know, make those steps in their plan a priority. And they have the ability to adjust and adapt. You know, they're agile. They can move right or left if they need to. But they're committed to learning for a lifetime. They're never at the end of the process. They're always in the process, right? And they use role models and guides and mentors, which is so important. Make sure you reach out. Reach out to someone. Just pick their brain. It's a great way to make another friend and learn something. There may be things that you haven't talked about when you're talking about the weather or the sports game. You know, you might want to dig a little bit deeper into that. It was interesting learning about the Western culture versus the Eastern culture and just how we value accomplishment versus our community and the way that we respond within our community and our groups. So that was pretty interesting. I think we need maybe a little balance of both. If we paid more attention to the way that we interrelate with our groups, we might learn a little more. If we're not just always striving to accomplish and have more, we might pay a little more attention to what's going on with around us. And of course, I've talked all about Plan B and having a chance to really have a good backup. We talked about patience. That's a hard one. Patience, definitely a hard one for me. And I just need to learn what to do during those stretches. You know, the minute that comes into your mind, oh, bad decision, abort, move on, I need to sit with it a while. I need to take some time, relax, go back and review why I thought it was so important, why I went in this direction in the first place. So don't necessarily doubt yourself and give up, but give it a chance. Give yourself some space to react. That's great in really anything that you do. Give yourself some space and take some time to evaluate what's really going on. Different perspective, that sort of global aerial view of everything. We also talked about being present. You know, don't be so focused on your 2-3-5-year plan that you forget what's happening today. How was today? What'd you do today? Were you there? Do you remember? Did you get some joy out of today? Stay present. Present with the people around you, present in what you're doing. Nurture your friendships. What a great way to build just a happy life, a good balance between the two. So I challenge you to find a healthy balance. Take an inventory to find where you're depleted or coming up short and tip the scales. Persistence only works when you feel confident in your plan and satisfied in yourself. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. Summer through until the past was 10.